How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio, April 12th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Obviously, a ridiculously newsworthy day today, and really not much good news, unfortunately. And Dave, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
We did earlier today a brief segment on Larry Sweeney, and we're going to have Chris Hero on tomorrow to talk more. But anything new that you've heard today on this story?
I mean, not anything since we did the update. No, not really. Just a lot of people sending condolences and things like that. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, a lot of really sad people. And as noted, we got something up today. You can go up and check it out. We did earlier today. And tomorrow, Chris Hero, longtime friend, is going to be on the program talking about his career. So everybody can look forward to that. Edge tonight, pretty much out of nowhere, announced retirement. And it was kind of funny because I had not watched the show yet. I was behind on television, and so I ended up watching Tough Enough, and then I was watching SmackDown, and I got word that, you know, Edge had retired, and the neck injuries. He's got really bad neck problems. He's got spinal stenosis. He's losing feeling in his arms. And here I am watching SmackDown, and they're shooting this angle in the main event. Edge is at ringside doing commentary for Alberto Del Rio and Christian, where the winner gets to face Edge in a ladder match at the TLC pay-per-view. And thank God that didn't happen. But he's done, apparently. Doctor told him no more. It is not safe. He said he knew he was on borrowed time. And man, this is a blow to WWE, a big blow.
Absolutely, especially to the SmackDown side. I mean, look at the SmackDown babyface side right now.
Non-existent.
I mean, it's Christian and Rey Mysterio and Big Show.
Yep.
And Kane.
It's a bad situation. I mean, Undertaker's not going to be back anytime soon. And, you know, Triple H just gone from television, so God knows when he's going to be back. Edge is gone. You know, Shawn Michaels has been gone for a year, and we're watching Raw, and they need a new babyface to be put into a three-way with Miz and Cena. And granted, it's nice that Truth is getting a shot here, but at the same time, it's Truth. He's been buried for God knows how long, and it just really showed, you know, the babyface side on Raw really isn't much either.
Well, part of it is because Morrison's kind of getting punished this week, so. But yeah, you know, I mean, the depth situation in WWE has been weak for a long time, and you know, you lose Edge, I mean that weakens it a lot because you know he's, you know, one of the, you know, he's a guy who you can put in any situation, and he would make it at least decently good, and often really good. You know, he's been one of the cornerstones of the promotion for the last 6 years.
Yeah, the segment opened with him coming out, and obviously this was a very difficult segment for him. I guess they just, I don't know when he went in for the MRI.
He went in last Monday, the day after WrestleMania.
Okay, so he probably had a pretty good idea when they shot the angle on SmackDown.
He certainly knew that he's been hurt. I mean, he's been hurt. I don't know when he started hurting, but it's probably been for a couple weeks. And, you know, the whole deal of, you know, you work through Mania and then think about it after Mania.
Yeah.
Which makes the lack of a title change even stranger when you think about it. Because
yeah,
if they knew he was going in for an MRI the next day, you know, just as a precautionary measure, you would have him lose the title. Not only to the fact that it would make sense for him to lose the title, and I think that it's really showing, you know, how you know, they've got their, you know, creative or whoever, you know, Vince really doesn't have their eye on the ball, because that would be something that, you know, if you're not thinking and you're doing a million things and obviously and your eye's not on the ball, you would kind of let that slip. But if you were paying attention and, you know, one of your guys, you know, your world champion is going in for an MRI and his hands are numb, and you've been through this before with how many wrestlers with bad necks, you have to go in there with the idea that, you know, prepare for the worst and go with the title switch. And instead, you know, they were going to book a ladder match, which is, you know, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but it's you know, I don't know what Edge told them as far as the severity of it, but I would think that, you know, you would think that he would have let on that he was going for an MRI the day after because he, you know, he had to fly to get that done as opposed to go to Raw, and then he flew to SmackDown, and he didn't appear on Raw. He did go, but he did appear in SmackDown in Charlotte, and then I guess towards the latter part of the week he got the results back of the MRI, which showed the spinal stenosis, and that was it. You know, they told him that it would not be in his best interest to wrestle, and God knows there's a lot of wrestlers who would still wrestle anyway.
Yeah,
and I think that that's pretty smart of him. I think part of it too, I think it was kind of sad that it ended this way, but at the same time, he had pretty much acknowledged that if WrestleMania was in Toronto next year, I think that it was pretty much a guarantee that was going to be his last match anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in his head, he had talked retirement for, a year or two. Although the funny thing is that about 2 weeks ago, when it was brought up, he was like going, I think I can go 5 more years, which I was surprised. This is when he's 42, and all this time he's been talking about a year or two. So I don't know what, if he was just, wishful thinking or what, but, he was thinking about going longer. But he had talked about retirement. He even did the speech at the last show in Toronto where he was talking about, he was hoping that WrestleMania would be in Toronto, which turned out not to be, because that would probably be his last match. So, I think that when you've already kind of in your head acknowledged that your retirement is soon and you bought your retirement home, and he's been living there in Asheville for a while, that it's, it came earlier than he wanted, but it may not have been as hard as someone, who didn't acknowledge it and all of a sudden suffer a career-ending injury.
Yeah, again, I don't know if I was reading too much into it when I watched SmackDown, but he came out for that main event segment and he just looked really sad. He just looked like he knew that there was trouble and
numbness in both hands.
Yeah, I think he knew. Results or not, I think he knew that this is probably going to be it for me. And, there was a spot, actually, it's kind of weird because they did a spot with Brodus Clay at the end of the Christian match where Brodus tried to interfere, and Edge got up from the table and gave Brodus a spear outside, and he hits Brodus with the spear and then, crumbles into a ball and grabs his neck and goes down. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of any of it except that I think that he knew that
probably shouldn't have done that spear.
Probably not.
Because that's Tuesday, and he'd already gone in on Monday, so he knew he was hurting.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd been hurting for a couple weeks. It's like those kind of injuries, and, being around, wrestlers and everything like that, they're going to work through Mania, and then think about the consequences after WrestleMania, which in his case was the day after WrestleMania.
But he did do a speech, and he lost it for a little bit, but pulled it together, and in some ways, it was a really good thing that he lost it, because I think that it really
made it more real.
It convinced people that, hey, this may not be bullshit.
Which, yeah, because it's funny, because they open, on Tough Enough, 10 minutes before the Raw actually starts, they have this graphic, Edge to retire rumor, and, you're just thinking, oh, God, he's going to do this, this terror, what do we need is another fake wrestling retirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Alberto Del Rio is going to come out and all that. And all through the show, the way that they were teasing it, the way that they tease stuff, if someone's actually going to retire, they wouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, they were actually telling the truth. It was quite bizarre. I didn't even think for a second that he was going to retire while they were doing all those teases, because, you're conditioned not to. And then he went out there, and somewhere in that interview, it was kind of like, wait a minute, when he described the neck and the hands and everything like that, it was like, this is not sounding good at all.
No. So he talked about how it was really rough for him. He had felt sorry for himself. And then he talked to Christian, and he said that him and Christian had been friends for 27 years. They'd grown up watching WWE. They went to the Maple Leaf Gardens. He was in the front row at WrestleMania 6. And he saw Hogan and Warrior and decided he wanted to be a wrestler and talked about all of the wacky gimmicks and matches and angles.
You would think if he saw that, he decided he'd want to be a bodybuilder.
Well, hey, you know what? Well, that too. But I remember when I watched that match, I'm about 2 years younger than Edge, and that was a pretty goddamn good match when you were a kid. And that motivated him to get into this business. And, he said that Christian essentially told him that, you have lived and worked your entire career on your own terms, and you managed to go out. He called it the co-main event of WrestleMania, which I guess when you sandwich the rest of the card, the opener and the main event, that's co-main eventing. So he co-main event WrestleMania.
Openers are now called co-main events.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Michael Cole was in the main event too, so.
There were a lot of main events.
Every match was the main event, or a co-main event.
A lot of main events. Remember when the Kiss Demon had the in his contract that he was going to be in every main event, and so he'd be like in the third match on the card, and they'd announce it as a main event?
Yeah.
Good old days. Yeah. So yeah, he said that Christian told him you went on top, you're retiring with the title, and he said, you know, if I...
Yeah, I mean, seriously, who gets to do that?
Yeah, and he said, you know, I look back, and if you would have told me when I was 11 years old that I was going to end up the man who had won more championships than any other man in the history of WWE, I never would have believed it. And so, clearly
yeah,
not...
Yeah, but then again, if you had told him when he's 11 years old they were going to change the title every single month on pay-per-view... I don't know if you would believe that either.
Probably would not have.
Yeah.
But regardless, he said, I don't have to wake up and put on some tights tomorrow, so I'm going to go eat some ice cream. And, you know, in general, I think that, you know, maybe a combination of it really hit him, and then at some points it really didn't hit him that this was the end. And they announced it on SmackDown. He's going to come out and vacate the title, and hopefully nobody lays a hand on him, for God's sake. And that's it for now. I guess we'll see what they offer him at this point.
Yeah.
One would think an agent job, hopefully.
Maybe he could be an announcer, perhaps.
Could be. He's well-spoken. I mean, been there long enough to know the list of banned terms.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he could be an agent. He could be a trainer.
Yeah.
Sure.
And likely...
Although as a trainer, you have to kind of get in the ring, so that's probably the worst thing for him to be doing.
I don't think a trainer would probably be his best bet.
Yeah.
But an agent or a, someone...
Agent, you know, yeah, he's reliable and everything. He could do that. If
well,
that's
more than
wanted.
That, I mean, he...
Or you know what? He's made money. He could just, when he was going to be done in a year, I mean, he wasn't planning on being done and then being an agent. He was just going to go and hang out in Nashville.
Well, that's...
So
that's,
he may just do that.
That's usually
just,
fun
know,
for...
life.
Usually fun for about 6 months, and then you're begging to be an agent again.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's talk about this show. Open up with Cole coming out and being announced as the only undefeated star in WWE today. They did not mention aside from Sin Cara, but that's his gimmick. He's Mr. WrestleMania now. And Cena came out, talked very briefly about the Rock match at Mania, and then just kind of moved on. He said, you know, it's going to be for the title, so... I need to win the title, and therefore, Miz, I need a championship match. And Randy Orton came out instead, and he said he wanted a match, and you know how it goes from there. Then we had Morrison, and then we had Truth, Vicky, Dolph, everybody came out, and finally the...
Vicky even wanted a championship match because she pinned John Morrison.
She had a good argument.
Yeah.
They'll be bringing that up for the next few months, at least, for poor John Morrison. So he, the GM dinged, announced that they were going to be doing, they called it a first ever match, a gauntlet match. Yeah.
It's not the first time.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So two men face off, new man enters, last guy in, gets the title shot at Miz at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and that was signed as the main event. They also announced later tonight, Lawler and Swagger, where if Swagger won, Cole would never have to face him again. And if JR won, I guess he got to choose the match and the stips at Extreme Rules. So that was signed for later. We had Eve and Brie Bella for the title, which was kind of a shitty match. No heat. Eve made a comeback. The Bellas did the switcheroo, but the ref caught them. And he made them switch back out, at which point Brie pinned Eve. So, sucks to be Eve. Brie is the new women's champion. And... there you
they
go.
Did a deal at the beginning. She came out with a magic marker and marked the hand of Brie. So when Nikki ran in, she showed the ref that Nikki did not have the mark on her hand.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the trick from, which is amazing, that's the trick that the reporter found out who was La Mumia. Remember that?
That's right.
He La Mumia, who was like the big star in, was it Argentina,
Argentina,
right?
Argentina.
Yeah, in Argentina. He was like this, the big star, and
he was a mummy. For those of you that
he dressed up like a mummy,
yep.
And they put there was a prelim guy who was actually like the best worker in the whole country at the time, who was rumored to be La Mamia. So a reporter was interviewing him before the match and put a, accidentally on purpose, put the magic marker across his hand. In La Mamia's costume, the hand was exposed. And when he came out with his hand, there was that mark. So, in fact, that's how they exposed who La Mamia was.
If I were the mummy and I was doing an interview and a reporter accidentally put a magic marker line across my hand and then I went to go put my costume on, I don't know. I'd think to wash my hands.
But he didn't.
He didn't.
You would think that. You would also think that...
So he deserved to be exposed.
Yeah, you would also think that Alberto Del Rio would have won the title on Sunday.
A lot of things you would think.
That's right. So, and you wouldn't really think that Brie Bella would win.
No.
I have no idea why she did.
Well, then we had a deal with Eve backstage. She's being all bitchy with Gail. And Gail actually, in consoling her, said, "Man, you got the short end of the stick." So that didn't go over too well with Eve. And she said, "All you divas are the same." And she stormed out. And then Natalya walked up and Gail said, "We're not like that, are we?" And then Tamina walked in and gave them the evil eye and left. And perhaps there was a deeper meaning to this, which I did not grasp.
I have no idea.
Sin Cara and Primo took their house show match here to Raw.
But did nothing that they did in the house show match.
You know, I've seen Sin Cara on Raw twice and on SmackDown once. And on SmackDown, Sin Cara, his whole deal went off without a hitch. And on Raw, he's now fucked up 2 weeks in a row in some way or the other.
Well, I thought that Primo pretty much fucked up this one.
Well, regardless, the fact remains,
it was fucked up for sure. I mean, the finish, obviously, but I just thought that, you know, Primo was the one who sat down on the move.
Yes, Primo did screw it up.
And then he lost his balance, like they were doing, the finish was supposed to be a Spanish fly, and they set it up, and Primo just, I don't know if he lost his balance, but he sat down, and in doing so, Sin Cara lost his balance and fell all the way from the top rope to the floor, got right up, went through the exact same enziguri spot.
Maybe he thought the show was taped.
Yeah, and they could edit it out. Actually, you know what? If it was taped, this would have gone out without a hitch.
Would have gone off completely without a hitch. And I might add, Sin Cara did fuck one thing up. He did his trampoline deal again and almost didn't make it over the top rope for the second week in a row.
Yeah, but he did make it.
Yeah, well, he made it perfectly on SmackDown. It looked great.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
he needs a better trampoline.
He needs a taped show. Just for like, how about for 3 months? Put him on the taped show till he gets the hang of things and the ropes and everything like that.
Yeah, I thought that people were kind of like into him when he came out and thought he was special. But I thought that, and part of it may have been just Primo. The fact that, you know, when the people see Primo, they just tune out automatically. But it seemed like the longer it went, and it only went 4.5 minutes, but it just seemed like that they lost momentum, didn't gain momentum even before the finish.
Well, the thing with Sin Cara, Mystico, is he's still very green at U.S. style, and
well, completely.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it was a big mistake to bring him to the main roster without at least some time in FCW, because yeah, when it comes to that American style selling, I mean, he's a complete novice at it, and you know, that was when he was out there selling, that's when he was losing the people.
Well, that's kind of the key in that, you know, he's a much better high flyer at this stage than Rey Mysterio, but Rey Mysterio was like an awesome worker, and I this is a terrible comparison, but I'm gonna make it anyway. Rey Mysterio is like Mick Foley, where there was a lot of fat guys in the backyard that did a lot of stupid things, and they took a lot of goofy bumps, and they didn't understand that, yes, Mick Foley fell off a cage a couple of times, and he did some really stupid things, but he also could fucking work, and he was a great promo. And the thing with Ray is like an awesome babyface. And right now, Sin Cara is a great flyer who, when you cut him off, he's just a guy, and a green guy at that. And
well,
so
problem too is that their mentality and his style are, you know, it's like what he does best is stuff that those agents have never seen. So when he does it, because they've never seen it, instead of going, "Wow, that's really cool stuff," they go, "Why don't you do it this way?" And now this way becomes like any guy who's 190 pounds or 170 pounds or whatever, you know, who would be in FCW, would be taught to wrestle, and he's starting to wrestle like the generic high flyer. You know what I mean? Like all the same spots. Like there wasn't one spectacular Mystico spot in this match, as opposed to when he first started 2 weeks ago when he did like three or four of them.
Oh.
You know, everything was, you know, into you know, again, what they would have seen before, as opposed to the stuff he did in Mexico that they wouldn't have seen. But the thing that he's got going for him, on the plus side, is that he's Triple H's very first project. And that won't save him, but it's going to give him more of a chance, because I'll tell you what, if he wasn't, there's a pretty darn good chance that by next week they'd have already given, you know, look how quick they give up on all these type of guys, right? They would probably give up on him by next week. And I'm not saying that they won't, but I think that he may get a little bit of a reprieve because, you know, they've gone public. This is, again, Triple H's first project, and the last thing they want is Triple H's first project to be a failure so early in the game.
Yeah. So then we had the, and there were Sin Cara chants, by the way, and you know, people were into some of the spectacular high flying, but in between that, they weren't into it much. Cora came out, and they were going to explain why they attacked The Rock and Cena last week. They had no good reason, in fact, and kind of led to all of them bickering at each other, at which point out came...
This was actually like a TNA show.
Yeah. Santino, Evan Bourne, Daniel Bryan, and Mark Henry. And Bryan has, in fact, been downgraded to the Apple, which is Santino's version of the Core. And they had a match. And in the best line of, I think, Cole's best line, maybe in his entire WWE career, he said, Apple versus the Core was going to be the pits. And I thought that was awesome. And it was not, well, wasn't great, but it was all right.
It was all right.
Daniel sold for a long time. Santino ran wild. And,
you know, the thing was when Daniel sold, he is so, you know, compared to like when they were, you know, when he first came in, it's another one. It's like, isn't the idea that when a guy comes in time, you know, like they need time to get over, isn't that what they say? Like, you know, they need like 10 years to get over, whatever that stupid thing is, right? How come if that's the idea, that the more TV you have and the more exposure you have in WWE, how come in his case, the more exposure he's had, the less over he's become?
Well, because when he first started out, they were letting him have a lot of matches, and then he became a guy with storylines and short matches.
Well, aren't you supposed to work to the strengths of each guy?
Of course not.
The guys who can wrestle good,
ridiculous.
You let them wrestle good. The guys who can't wrestle good, you know, let them talk if they can talk.
Absurd.
And then the guys who can't do either, I don't know what you do with them. They shouldn't be there.
Preposterous idea. So yeah, sucks to be him. It's very sad. And yeah, Santino got tripped up and pinned, and not much to this really. JR came out, and Cole was burying him from the coal mine, and Jim Ross suddenly grabs the coal mine and starts shaking it like he's the ultimate warrior, shaking it like a wild man. And then he starts hitting Cole with his hat over the top of it, and Swagger ran down and attacked Lawler, and all hell broke loose, and after commercial, the match is on. It's Swagger and Lawler, and in the match...
With no announcers.
Nope. Cole and Ross are on the outside playing managers. Actually, basically doing commentary.
Cheerleaders.
Let's be honest. They were doing commentary. So,
not really. They really weren't.
Ross was. He was yelling about, you know, fire up and do holds and this and that.
What? But punch him? Yeah, he was cheerleading. He wasn't announcing.
Sure. But he was still getting the story of the match over, I felt. Regardless.
I guess.
So, Lawler is like the best babyface in WWE when it comes to firing up facials, making a comeback. I mean, place just went nuts for him. And then Ross, outside the ring, punches Cole, distracts Swagger. Lawler rolls up Swagger. And, like, everybody on camera leaped to their feet and went nuts for this pinfall. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So this would have been, like, a great pay-per-view finish. But we got it on Raw for free with no build. Kind of like TNA, actually. So Cole was all shocked, cut a promo on Swagger, slapped him. Swagger was about to kill him, and then Cole bailed. And then Lawler grabbed the mic and announced that he got to decide the match and the stips at Extreme Rules. And we actually did not get the stips, so those are probably coming next week. But the match is...
There may not be any stips. It just may be the match.
Hmm.
Or they may announce the STIPS next week in London.
Yeah. JR and Cole. I'm sorry, JR and Ross against Cole and Cole's former friend, Jack Swagger. So Cole will apparently be at a big disadvantage in this match here at Extreme Rules. So there you go. Had the Edge deal. And by the way, Ross did the rest of the show on commentary, thank God.
Okay, but they had this was really weird. You know, I mean, it's not but it is and it's not. They had Ross out there, but Ross didn't get to do any play-by-play. Josh did the play-by-play, and they had Ross doing color.
That's fine. Ross is fine doing color.
Yeah, he's much better at doing play-by-play.
Well, sure.
You had, and Lawler's the color guy.
Well, now we've got two color guys.
Yeah.
I would rather have Ross as the color guy than Cole as the heel play-by-play guy.
Yeah, but you're going to get Cole as the heel play-by-play guy next week.
I just imagine...
It's not like Ross is going to... I mean, Ross is, you know... Not like he's going to be back announcing week in and week out.
Well, who knows? Things change.
That's true.
I hold out hope.
Anything can happen.
So, we had clips
of
Edge.
But if they were going to make him if they were going to make him the lead guy, they wouldn't let Josh be the lead guy on this show. You know, I mean, they would have Ross. I mean, it's very clear to me they wouldn't let Ross be the lead guy because, you know, they don't want him to get too over.
God forbid.
Even though... They want him to get over as a wrestler, not as an announcer. Because, yeah, they do want him to get over as a wrestler because he's probably going to be in the biggest match on this pay-per-view, given that the other ones look like it probably going to be Christian and Alberto Del Rio after five television matches and R-Truth challenging for the world title.
We just spoiled our own report.
Yeah.
Miz came out to do commentary for the main event. It was a gauntlet match. Ziggler and Orton started. Went like 2 minutes. Orton made his comeback. Set up for the RKO, and who should run out but McGillicuddy, Mason Ryan, and David Otunga. No Husky Harris. He's history. No Punk, either, by the way. But the new Nexus beat up...
There was no Punk on the whole show, was there?
No.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to him.
I don't know. New Nexus, anyway, they, responsible for, Ziggler rolling up Orton for the pin. So Ziggler advanced against Truth, of all people, who, wrestled him, and essentially hit kind of, I guess, a reverse zigzag out of nowhere. Downward spiral, I guess, for the clean pin.
Mic check.
That caught the crowd completely off guard, I might add.
Oh, yeah. Everyone off guard.
Yeah.
No one expected that.
So then Morrison's out, and battle of the most awkward tag team in the history of this company. Not much heat. Long chin lock. Double count out tease, like everything you could do wrong in a match to get people into it. And Morrison did his kick, missed the Starship Pain. Truth hit another downward spiral, another clean pin. At which point, I don't think the fans had any idea what to make of this.
Oh yeah, do you think anyone thought? You know, well, I guess if they had followed the week's news, they probably, you know, could have guessed that it was John Morrison's week to get punished. But still. Even knowing that, I didn't expect Roger to beat him.
So then Cena came out, which Miz noted was not fair. So,
I mean, think about that booking. Shouldn't it have been Cena go through all those people and, like, since he's the, you know what I mean? He's like the real baby face.
You'd think. But I should add that although he did not play heel, he did work the heel role in this match in the sense that he was getting heat on Truth, who was kicking out of all of his moves, and Cena was shocked that Truth, for example, had kicked out of a vertical suplex, but Truth kept kicking out, and finally Truth made a comeback, and Cena did all the bumping, but then Cena cut him off, and he got to do his quick comeback, and set up for the FU, and Miz hit the ring for the disqualification here in this gauntlet match, which was about as shitty a finish as you can have, announces a double disqualification, at which point Ross said, somewhat controversial, I would suggest. And he was right. So Truth is, according to the GM, going to be fighting for the World Championship at Extreme Rules against Miz and John Cena. And I think pretty much everybody can figure out what that is leading to. And it's not a title run by Truth, I would guess. So
I'd be surprised if he won the title.
I would be quite shocked.
Unless there's something going on behind... unless there's something going on behind the scenes that we haven't heard, you know, in which God knows anything's possible.
Trying to think what could possibly be going on that would result in the title being put on Truth.
some affirmative action group getting on their case because they all their superstars are the wrong color.
Could be.
I mean, they did that, you know, I mean, that was enough to make Stevie Ray an announcer and Booker T world champion.
Well, the problems in WCW ran far deeper.
Yes, they did.
I don't think Brian Gewirtz ever suggested that...
But Michael Hayes.
Truth and Booker T come out in chains.
Michael Hayes.
Well, yeah, he's had some problems.
Yeah, and he's a head writer.
Speaking of... Actually, I don't know. I guess I was thinking what I was trying to say, speaking of about it, was Booker T. Tough Enough Tonight.
Yes. Booker T wasn't on the show.
He was on SmackDown, Steve Austin claimed. But
Well, he was. Obviously, they were filming stuff on Tuesdays.
I've turned the corner on this show.
Well, you didn't like it? I thought it was great.
No, I liked it this week. I didn't like the first 45 minutes last week. I thought it was every reality show I've ever seen, and I thought some of the training stuff they did was just bullshit, and it kind of made me mad. But this week,
you know what? There was stuff, I'll tell you what, on the training stuff this week, there was stuff I really didn't like. And I'll tell you what it was. It was having all those girls give those guys body slams because they completely exposed the body slam.
Yeah. I guess
so. I mean, I know everyone deep down knows that the body slam's fake, but I mean, the point is that, you know, like when you body slam a big guy, it's supposed to get a pop, right? But now they've shown that these little 110-pound girls can body slam 240-pound guys, and like it wasn't even that hard for them. It's kind of like, you know, geez.
Yeah, but at the same time, we also had. Huge erection, crushing everybody in the corner and giving them five straight body slams, and the girls just jumped up
and they all popped up.
Stared them down, yes.
Yeah, they all popped up.
That was slightly more absurd, I would think, but I don't know.
They all were.
Hey, you know what? I don't care, though, because at least all of the wrestling stuff that they did this week was actually something you would do in a match, as opposed to the stupid stuff like, you know...
Or even run the ropes for five straight minutes?
Just run the ropes for five straight minutes. If you can't do that, you're not cut out for this business. Or all this other
crap. It's like, whoever does that in a match?
Nobody.
Well, Eric Young did.
Eric Young did, yeah. But even he didn't go 3 minutes. He got tired.
No.
He didn't get kicked out of TNA for that. But the story of the show was young Matt Cross, who is...
the best wrestler in the whole show, but never showed it.
Never showed it, and apparently he ain't tough enough, because he got booted off the show at the end. And the highlight, once again, is Steve Austin cutting a promo on everybody at the end of the show. I don't know. We need to get Austin back on the show and ask him about this, because I don't picture him going out there and scripting his lines or anything like that.
But, I don't think he was scripting his lines.
God damn, he goes out there and is just on fire.
Yeah, well,
if he doesn't get, like, a lot of votes for best promo this year, something's wrong.
Well, he should get some.
He should get all. He should be put back into the Hall of Fame.
He's already there. He can't do it again.
Induct him again for this show. He is a megastar on this show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the interesting thing is, I mean, Rhea probably should have been dumped, but, you know, she probably had, like, you know, secret immunity. But Matt Cross... You know, when he's talking to him, I mean, Austin's like begging Matt Cross to be, you know, not polite and show something. And he was just so polite. You know, can I speak my piece, sir? And it's just like...
Permission to speak, sir.
And it's like he's just really calm and everything. And also, he didn't for a second think he had a chance of being, you know, booted out of there since he knew he was the best wrestler in the whole group. You know, but... He wasn't affirmative at all. You know, he didn't come across like, I don't know. He didn't play his cards right because that's what it was. He didn't play his cards right. He didn't understand what the deal was and got booted. But you know what? I mean, it's like, you know, he'll probably end up in FCW now anyway. So,
well, you never know. Maybe someone will go home. Maybe what's his face, the guy that was crying about his girlfriend. Maybe he'll just quit and they'll bring Matt Cross back. And
no, they're not bringing guys back.
Fire lit under his ass.
Yeah, no, that guy's probably on his way out too. The guy who cried about his girlfriend and everything.
I was shocked that it was him that survived and not Matt Cross. But
yeah, actually, I was too.
You know, I knew.
Well, Rima, you know, they. Again, she's got a few weeks immunity, so
she'll be there for a little while, I think. But
yeah,
so yeah, you know.
But they did play up that she was 20 minutes late for practice.
Yeah,
which was
My God, by the time Steve Austin was done, I just told myself, don't ever be late for anything again. Whether it involves Steve Austin or not, because if he catches wind of that, I do not want to be on the receiving
right,
end
if he's
of...
ever, if we ever book him, man, you better not call him 5 minutes late.
I was going to say, I'll call him 10 minutes early.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow, that was a promo. He was great on this show. So, anyway, if you guys aren't watching Tough Enough, it's playing about 75 times every week, so check it out. It's,
check Bravo, G4, E, USA... Just keep checking on your. Just scroll down. You'll find it. You'll find it easy enough.
It's going to be somewhere.
Yeah.
So, certainly a hell of a lot more exciting than Ultimate Fighter this season, which, by the way, got another 1.0.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, but it was a worse 1.0 than the 1.0 the week before because it was down 300,000 viewers.
Yeah.
That's bad. What's that? Basically, that means that everyone who watched with a friend or a loved one. Probably got a divorce that week for doing so.
Yeah. You know, I think you noticed this in The Observer, but it seems to be, for whatever reason, that starting at 10 is significantly better for UFC than starting at 9.
Yeah, but you know what? Okay, that's all well and good, but every single year, they usually do those two-hour finals of Ultimate Fighter, where after a whole season of starting at 10... The final episode starts at 9, and that first hour at 9 usually does a higher rating than they usually had done at 10. So that tells me that it's not that significant. I mean, it probably meant a little bit, but, you know, maybe it's a difference between a 1.3 and a 1.2, but that's not the reason they did a 1.0 the first week. And the reason that they did the 1.0 the second week was because there was absolutely nothing inspiring in that first week show. That would bring people back, and this week I didn't sense anything that was going to bring people back next week either.
A couple of news notes before we go today: Henderson and Fedor. A lot of speculation, a lot of rumors, and not signed yet. But what is the latest?
Well, what they're negotiating is Fedor is not dropping to 205. It's not going to be a championship match, at least as of. What they were negotiating today, they were talking about a 220-pound secret catch weight, in the sense that
secret.
It would not be billed as a 220-pound catch weight, but Fedor, in the contract, has to come in at 220. But it will be billed as a heavyweight match, just because they just figure it's better to bill it. It's better to be billed as a heavyweight match than a catch weight match. So it's Dan Henderson in theory is moving up, but Fedor can't weigh more than 220 in the bout agreement as is being negotiated right now. Which again, they may change their course, but anyway, that's how things were.
And also, we haven't talked about this yet, but Pero Aguayo Jr. was hospitalized on Sunday. Actually, it might have been earlier than that, but
he went to the hospital on Friday.
Yeah,
he's still in the hospital.
Last Sunday, he had a match, and when the match was over, his stomach was really bothering him, and kept getting worse, and finally on Friday, he checked himself into the hospital. They discovered a golf ball-sized tumor, and in removing it, what burst?
Like an ulcer that
an
burst.
Ulcer burst. That's right.
Yeah.
So he's in ICU right now.
He's in bad shape.
Yes, they said the next 72 hours are critical, and I mean it's serious enough.
His father went to visit him. You know, I don't know if it was yesterday or probably yesterday.
Yeah.
Now I just want to make an update on what we originally reported that it was cancerous. It may be. I was told they took a biopsy on Friday or Saturday. But they will not know the result until Wednesday. So it is not necessarily cancerous, but it very well could be. You know, but that was premature saying that it was cancerous.
But actually, I mean, if it were a cancerous tumor and they took out all of the tumor and the cancer was gone, I mean, you know, that's one thing. But the burst
yeah, but you
ulcer
know what? Even so, I mean, it's like those you know. Those things, that cancer, you know what I mean? It can come back.
Oh, sure. But I'm just saying the burst ulcer is a really, that's a really serious deal where some people
it's all serious.
Some people that suffer the burst ulcer end up having to have a partial or complete removal of their stomach. And
which could be career ending, right?
I would think that would be career ending, yes.
Wow, but that would be really sad.
Very, very, very rough situation right now. So presumably, I would guess we'll have an update tomorrow, if not on the show on Wednesday. So we can talk about it there. And of course, as mentioned, tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Chris Hero talking the life of Larry Sweeney. Obviously, you know, Sweeney was the man behind Sweet and Sour Incorporated and Hero and Claudio, and managed many others. And storyline, and we'll talk a lot about that, his Ring of Honor career. There's a lot of stuff up today, all over the place, really, on Larry Sweeney, so check that out. We'll have more tomorrow. And that is it from here. So, again, tomorrow afternoon, Chris Hero on the show. We'll be back Wednesday as well with a brand new episode. New Figure 4 likely out at some point tomorrow, new Observer out on Wednesday, and that's the plan. We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow afternoon.